Are you ready to become toxic person proof?
Hey guys, Sarah K. Ramsey here to help you find love and success after a toxic relationship so you can design a life you're actually excited about living.
Hello, wonderful. This is Sarah, and I'm here with my newest friend, Doug Morgan. Hey, Doug, how are you?
Hey, how are you doing, Sarah?
Nice. Awesome. Okay. So Doug and I have a funny story. I was in St. Petersburg, as many of you know, last week. I did a lot of trainings and stuff from there. And this guy had this adorable husky puppy. And I was like, I am the puppy Monday. You know, I've got a great husband, so I'm not checking out guys, but I'm still checking out dogs, you know? So I was like, I am this little husky puppy, and all these people were stopping him, talking to him. And a few days later, we're in the park and I see the same dog. And I was like, not to be weird, but didn't I meet you Monday? And he started this awesome conversation that has led us to here. How are you, Doug?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Thanks.
Yeah. So tell us first about the husky. Tell us first about the dog.
So Natasha, she's 15 weeks old. She is a handful, that's for sure. But very cute and lovable and very affectionate. So we couldn't ask for a better dog.
Oh, I love that. So we started talking and it got interesting very quickly, right? So tell people a bit about your backstory and what makes you an interesting conversation in this conversation.
Sure. I come from a very toxic background, you'd say. My father's been married 4 times. My mom left when I was 5. I've experienced, sexual abuse when I was a child, physical abuse, mental abuse. Just, my father's second wife or third wife, I'm sorry, was an undiagnosed bipolar for the majority of the time. I was kicked out of the house when I was 11. So I've dealt with a lot of toxic personalities throughout my life, but I found my way. I joined the military. I did 6 years in the military and Army, did 2 tours in Iraq, came home, tried to get my life together, eventually met my wife, went back to school, got my life together. And now I own a digital marketing company, WD Morgan Solutions. You can hit us up on Instagram, wdmorgan.solutions. That's our tag. So that's a little bit about myself. So I've been married for 2 years, right?
Yeah. Well, he was like showing pictures of his wife and I was showing pictures of Ben. We were connecting that way too. And in just from a place of being happy in a relationship and starting to talk about what makes for a happy relationship, even if you've been through trauma, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest thing is loving yourself and putting yourself in a position where you can say that, or you can look yourself in the mirror and say, I like this person. Yeah. And so it takes some work to get there, though. I mean, we beat ourselves up and there's a lot of negative, I've heard it said that if you were to be a friend, like when you're talking into the mirror to yourself or you're just talking to yourself in your head, if you were to have that same conversation with a friend, you wouldn't have any friends.
Right? Uh-huh. That's exactly right. And having that healthy conversation with yourself creates a better version of you to bring into your relationships.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Somebody
could
love you with all their heart. And if you don't love yourself, you're just going to think that's going to fall flat to you. So
yeah. Yeah. Now you went through a divorce.
I did.
Yeah. And then you wanted to reset the trajectory of your future relationships.
I did, totally.
Yes. So, after this. Yeah.
This was after I got out of the Army. I hadn't sought. So I was going through some mental illness stuff. I was having panic attacks and I knew that I should probably go and see the VA and talk to them about PTSD and things like that. But there was a stigma involved when I was in the Army. They tell you not to go because it affects like how people view you and whether you can get promoted or not. So I never sought that out. And there was just a stigma. I didn't want to be labeled as a crazy person. So not that I view that way now, but I did at the time. And so I sought out mental health treatment and sort of got into a routine. I saw a therapist and really dug into, why did this relationship go wrong? And the big thing was that I never really thought about all right, I just like this person. They're attracted to me. I'm attracted to them. Let's get together, right? That's as simple as I thought about it. But it's really a lot more complicated. There's like, you know, they told me to list 5 things about a person, the attributes of a person, not their, basically their values, right? What kind of values or interests that they have that would match with yours. And so I listed those things down, and eventually that helped me identify that, all right, this is a viable candidate. Like when I met my wife, I knew that I was like, better not mess this up, because this is like somebody that really aligns with what I am seeking. So.
Absolutely. And I love that you said values before interest, because sometimes I think it's like, oh, y'all are perfect for each other. You both like hiking, and hiking is great, but with 2 o'clock in the morning when someone's vomiting or there's laundry to be done or there's a career change or we have a crisis like we did with COVID, mm-hmm. both enjoying hiking is not enough.
That's completely true, for sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Extracurricular activities do not get you through the tough times, right? The values do. So,
yeah. So what are some values you had on your list?
So I wanted her to have, so, you know, I come from a Christian background. So I'm not somebody that's in the church per se, but I do believe in that core value set. So somebody that comes from that sort of background. And my wife was raised Catholic. So that was a little bit different than I was a Methodist, but you know, that was very similar, you know, do unto others as you want done unto you, and, you know, be friendly to your neighbor, you know, don't lie, all those things, right? Treat people with kindness and work hard, and yeah, work ethic was a big thing. You know, having an artistic side, I think that helps. I do, and I think that if you have something like that, it helps to identify with people. I'm an athlete. You know, I played basketball in high school. I played a little bit in college, and so doing physical things is something that I find enjoyable. So I wanted that as well. Not necessarily any particular thing, but just wanting to do that, not being somebody that wants to sit on the couch all the time. And then just financial. So this is something that I didn't have, but I wanted help with, kind of, you know, like, you know, financial literacy, having a good structure when it comes to that. And so, you know, my wife's taught me a lot in that regard. And, you know, my credit score is here to thank us. So
that's so fun. Yeah. Well, I love, because you kind of talked about a lane, but there was some like bumpers in the lane that you could kind of swing. So it's like you wanted someone, and you took a holistic approach. It wasn't like, okay, they have to go this type of church every Sunday or whatever. But there was kind of a bumper approach that gave you some flexibility without compromising.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it, for sure.
Yeah. So we also had a conversation. Obviously, you're a great guy who's done a lot of self-reflection, self-awareness, recognizes changes you needed to make, and did it, right? That was the very first thing I picked up on you. There were so many, like, what is that, Hansel and Gretel or something? They leave the little clues that kind of like show you like where to go. And you left all these little clues of growth. And when people are growing, you know, looking to be better versions of themselves, there's clues, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But you talked about the fact that sometimes there's not these clues in men, in some men. Do you want to speak into that?
So, yeah, I think that there's some things that there's some issues that are underlining in men that us as a culture, like high level, you know, I think men have a problem with purpose, right? We don't have a purpose. It's not something that the society really preaches. If you're consuming all the stuff on social media or even mainstream media, it's just seeking happiness, right? We're seeking happiness, which is short term, and you can't really. Happiness is not sustainable. It comes and goes as you want, right? And I think that what I found through my trials and tribulations and reading a bunch, and that responsibility is the way to purpose, right? So we are, you know, the humans are very story driven, right? We see ourselves as a hero. Like it's important to see yourself as a hero of your own journey, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're not on a journey, then you're not going to, you're going to fall by the wayside, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to have the will to fight. You're not going to, you know, be as tough as you need to be. You're not going to put in the extra effort, and you're not going to achieve what you could if you had that mindset of constantly setting goals, achieving them, identifying weaknesses in yourself and trying to make them strengths, that sort of thing.
Well, interestingly enough, you used the word purpose, and I had a dating coach interview earlier. Our conversation, I told you, sparked this series I want to do on like dating from a guy's perspective and male dating coaches and, you know, and regular guys. You know, I hate to call you regular, above average guys, yeah. You know, someone who is not.
I'm a regular guy.
Yeah. In a good way. But he used the word purpose when I said, what is your first step when you coach men on dating? And he said, finding them their purpose. So I find it fascinating. You use the same word in your conversation. That's well done. Well, I mean, well done on that. Yeah. Well,
I can't take credit for that. I mean, Jordan Peterson is the leading mind in this area. And I definitely think that If I had to give any advice for a male that's trying to improve their life, reading the first book, or well, his second book, 12 Steps to 12 Steps to Life, An Antidote for Chaos, it's huge. So, but I'm not here to plug that book or anything like that. It's just, it was a huge eye opener. A lot of people have said once they've read that book that there was a lot of thoughts in there that they couldn't, that they couldn't verbalize, but they believed, right? So,
well, interestingly enough, some of the men that I have like been closest to, not my husband necessarily, but you know, some of my like best guy friends are huge Jordan Peterson fans. I mean, they talk about all the time, like, oh, Jordan Peterson. I was like, okay. You know, I find it really interesting. You know, I was looking for patterns, but that idea of kind of, you know, regular guys who they're aligning with, growing, who's cutting through to them.
Well, I mean, I think that in the past, you know, a lot of the biblical stuff dealt with purpose and sacrifice and things of that nature. And, you know, purpose and sacrifice, I think, go hand in hand. Like I knew I had a problem with self-hatred, and I would go down these, you know, periods of time where it was just not good for me. It was, you know, self-deprecating, right? Or self-inflicted wounds that I put on myself, like going out drinking and dating the wrong women and all that stuff. And it was bad for my health. It was bad for my career. It was bad for everything, right? So I didn't understand that really I needed to focus on myself and improve myself so I could love myself so others can love me. And that's what eventually I came around to. So,
well, so if you're, you know, we're in the park and say I wasn't married and I was like, well, you're such a great guy. Where can I find a good guy? What would your answer to that question be?
I think that it really, I mean, this may be a cop out, but I think that you should ask yourself some questions about what kind of guy that you value. You know, if it's somebody that enjoys or the lifestyle that you want to lead or enjoys the type of things that you want to do, then I would seek out those kind of, like, so if you're into triathlons, then you probably want somebody that does triathlons. I know we just said that you shouldn't seek out people but that is a total one. There's a lot of CEOs and very wealthy people that do triathlon. So if you're seeking out wealthy men, then I would suggest that. But what do you enjoy? Like, do you enjoy hanging out in the park? Well, I mean, there's people there that do the same thing that you do. I think working on yourself and bettering yourself and then putting yourself out there in the world in spots that you want to be in, I think people will naturally be attracted to you if you're confident, and if you love yourself. So I think that.
Well, what's interesting is since we've had our conversation, I've asked every guy I know that question, like my friends, these dating coaches, you know, I'm in this huge like coaching network of people. So when I say, hey, here's, I want dating coaches on my podcast, like the next day I have like three signed up because everybody wants on here, you know? And so ever since you asked that, and every guy says the same thing, whether you're a dating coach, whether you're not a dating coach, whether I ask, you know, married guys the same thing, you know, there's this guy from that I met in St. Petersburg from Argentina, you know, and he and his wife were there and I said, hey, I'm just curious, where would you find it? You know? And he said, and it's interesting, many of the men talk about something being active, really looking for like some type of activity, even if it is a walking group or running group, you know, triathlon is like, yeah. Whoa, you know, but something along those lines and very interesting, sure. You know?
Yeah. Like if you're a runner, Running for Brews is a good group, right? So there's this club in St. Petersburg called Running for Brews. And they do 3 miles, I think, twice a week or something like that. And they all meet up for a beer afterwards.
So well, and if your ankle hurts, show up where they end up. You're still seeing the same people. You're still seeing the same guys and open for that conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you have an, we're talking about solving problems, let's overcome them, right? Make excuses, right?
Because I can hear people say, well, I can't run 3 miles. Well, I can't this. Well, do you know where the 3 mile runners end?
I think that's just an example though, because maybe that's not your bag. You know, maybe that's not something that you want to do. You're all right. Running's boring to me. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Join. There's kickball leagues that you can join. There's a bunch of activity based things that you can join to get involved with a community. Like, I'm not a super religious person, but you know, if you want to, there's lots of people that meet people in church because it is a community, right? And you meet somebody and you say, you tell them your story and they like you and they become an advocate for you. Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they say, I know a great guy.
Yeah.
And a lot of, right.
Uh-huh. And there's a real theme to this. Up to this point, now I know this is a new conversation and, you know, my journey, cause we just met and, you know, but I'm very diligent. Like when I come up with a research project, I'm all in. I've not had a guy say a dating app yet. The guy's never mentioned.
Because I think hookup culture is definitely tied to the dating apps for sure.
And the dating coaches are not saying dating apps, which I find interesting.
Well, I don't think it's very like, I never wanted to say like, I met my wife on a dating app, you know, like it's kind of cringy for me, not that I'm judging anybody, cause I'm sure that there's people, lots of people that found love out there, but, technology is something that's, it's great. I use it to make a living. Connection is something that we're missing. And I think community without technology is something that we should seek out and cultivate. And, so I think that technology is not the solution to everything.
Yeah. And again, yeah, there's some people who do meet on dating apps, but I do find it interesting that when I ask guys that question, that is not their answer. I think that's noteworthy, right? I think worthy. And they also, you know, there's this whole conversation. This is kind of silly, but it's like, how do I meet a great guy? Well, how many people are you meeting? Like, are you meeting people in general? And there's like this disconnect. And when I was dating, gosh, I was like, my goal was to like see how many new people I could meet time. Because I had read that it's like, you know, when you think about if you're building a business, you need to be having new conversations. You need to be networking. And it's like, well, 100%. Building life, if you don't have the people that you want in there, you need to be networking. You need to be meeting new people.
100%. It's a holistic approach too. Like if you want to meet men, like I wouldn't say just look out for friends in general and men and women and expand your social group. Cause it might be some new friend that you meet that invites you out to some place one night and then you meet somebody, right? It's I met my wife because I just happened to message somebody on a Halloween night, and one of my friends who happened to be Julie's sister. I didn't even know Julie existed, right? Uh-huh. And she was like, sure. And we met up and we had a drink, and I met Julie that night. So uh-huh. it was in the cards, I guess. But if I wouldn't have reached out and made the effort to hang out, like I wasn't reaching out to the actual person, but she was the one that was said, this guy's a great guy, you should consider him.
So yeah. Which is a lot about you that somebody would recommend you to their sister. I think that speaks quite a few volumes about you. So there is this belief, I think, that many girls have that like guys should take the lead, which is fine in some examples. I'm not aligned with that. But what I see with women dating, if they've been hurt, they kind of have this idea that like they could just like be like this, and then guys are going to like just magically have the key and open up their personality, which I feel like is very threatening to guys, but unfair. Like, can we speak to that a bit?
Social cues are huge, right? So if you're not putting off an inviting persona, then it's going to be hard to approach you. Mm-hmm. So definitely in like a bar or a restaurant setting, and a lot of people meet in those areas. I'm 6'5". So like I it's hard for me to even talk to girls in bars because they can't hear me. I have to yell at them, you know, like, so, just the fact that, you don't have to be like super aggressive, but I think if you were like, I think that guy's cute, I might like just make a comment, go over there and make a comment and let him take the lead after that. It kind of gives them a signal. You're signaling that it's okay to talk to me.
Especially within the Me Too movement there's a lot of guys who've done a lot of things wrong. And there's a lot of good guys who are paying the price for the guys who did other things wrong. Right. Like both are true.
100%. So I think that, you know, the guys that are conscious about being good guys are more likely to be less aggressive, I think, because of that. They don't want to be labeled toxic or aggressive or that frat boy or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that kind of takes some wind out of their sails, so that they're looking for signs or an in, you know, to, you know, that signal to let them know that it's okay to talk to that person, and they're inviting the conversation.
And I think you can practice that where the stakes are low. I mean, obviously, I think I was the one who talked to you and I was like, oh, look, good. I saw your puppy, you and your puppy the other week. Right. And obviously we weren't trying to pick each other up. It didn't get sketchy, but like, that would be the exact same thing you would do if I had been trying to pick you up. Like, that's the exact same thing.
100%. I think it definitely helped. Like, that's an in. So a puppy is an in. So if you're a guy out there and you're looking for an in, and you don't have, you know, the aggressiveness to go talk to girls. And I think that the puppy helps. I mean, it doesn't help me. I'm already married, but it does socialize the dog. So that's good.
But it could, cup of coffee could help. A book in their hand could help. They're humming a song. You know, you like the color of their shirt. Like we, you know, you talked about not making excuses. And when you're just looking, you know, like here I was on a bench by myself and it was like, oh, people, you know, it wasn't needy. It wasn't, oh my gosh, are they going to like me? Is he going to reject me? You know, when we make it all about dating and less about meeting new people or connecting with a human, that's where all the trip ups happen, right?
Yeah. I think what you're bringing up is we put barriers with up for ourselves, right? Like, I can't do this because of this, right? But you're creating the rules. So you can change the rules. If you see a guy, okay, like maybe you're into tattoos and like I have a tattoo, lots of people come up to me and say, oh, I like your tattoo. And it's a conversation starter. It doesn't have to be anything sexual or anything like that, but that's an in, right? Or I like your shirt, or I like, you know, like a little compliment goes a long way, and, you know, a small compliment that doesn't have to do with your looks, that can be a soft in, I think.
Well, I mean, you know, ooh, do those earbuds get on your nerves, or have you managed to, you know, it doesn't even have to be anything weird. Like, it can be anything, you know, that just creates that connection, that very first signal, it is okay to talk to me. I think that is what a lot of women are missing in this conversation. And the, you're exactly right. The more aggressive guys who are good at picking women up are going to overcome that barrier more so than the nice guys.
100%. 100%. And I think you're exactly right.
I love that. Ah, Doug. Okay. So what other words of, you know, wisdom or you think, gosh, I feel like women may think this, but, you know, most guys are thinking this, or is there any other things that you've discovered in your own journey that you think we should know?
Yeah, I think, well, this is something my wife told me, that she doesn't feel like guys, you know, have the one that got away or something like that. But they do, right? So, and guys do have feelings. I don't think that every guy accesses their feelings all the time. And a lot of guys aren't verbals. So it's hard to communicate that, but guys do have a sensitive side. And I think that, you know, it takes a lot for them to express that because they don't want to be labeled as soft or anything like that, you know? So I think just have some, you know, no guy is going to be perfect, and just find the essence of what you want in a man. And like, if he is the right one, then he will become the man that you want him to be over time. I think that that's the best advice I can give.
And the advice I would give, piggybacking on that, is they have those breadcrumbs, right? There's this trail of growth. There's this trail of breadcrumbs, you know, when it's like, you know, he doesn't do anything. He's mean to me. He's lazy. I think he's cheating on other women. But with my love, I can turn him into the person I want. That is not what Doug is talking about here.
Yeah. I mean, like, motivation, you know, purpose, right? So like, when you come into a man's life and you give him love, and he's going to have that purpose, right? He's going to say, like, this is the woman that I, you know, and if you have kids already, that's just another responsibility that he has, that gives purpose to his life. And if you feel like he has the values that he's going to take on that purpose and take on that responsibility and thrive in it, you know, it may take some time, because that, you know, putting weight on your shoulders, sometimes, you know, you got to build up that strength over time. But what values do you see that translate into a spouse instead of somebody that just has fun, you know?
Yeah, I love that. Tell people where they can find you again on Instagram, and shamelessly plug your digital marketing. Don't mind at all.
Yeah, you can find us on Instagram at wdmorgan.solutions on Instagram. And you can find the website and all that from there.
Awesome, Doug. Thank you so much for our conversation and for you helping us on our journey to becoming toxic person proof.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
Hello, wonderful. This is Sarah, and I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. I know that there was something that you can take away to help you get past the past, get real about the present, or get serious about your future. And if I did my job, then hopefully it will help you with all three. If you are not in my Facebook group, Finding Love and Success After a Toxic Relationship, then consider this your personal invitation from me. I'm there live, there's tons of support, and most importantly, tons more information to help you on your journey to become toxic person proof.